extreme value of thanksgiving. That is, giving thanks and being thankful, not just the holiday. The extreme value of thanksgiving, it's not connected, just a clue, with football. And it's really not connected with a big pile of food. But the big pile of food happened because we wanted to have a feast to declare, what else can we do except to celebrate with the good things God has given us? And that's really what it's all about. So don't commit the sin of gluttony and everybody's happy, right? You probably have heard this beautiful piece of wisdom from Rudyard Kipling. If you can wait and not be tired of waiting, if you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thought your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, yours is the earth and all that's in it. Very wise man, beautiful writer, highly thought of. Rudyard Kipling was so highly honored and celebrated in his day as a writer. It was reported that a couple of men had discovered, considering the vast fortune that was brought in through Kipling's writings, that his words were each valued at $10 apiece. And so they went to him and, wanting to be mocking, one of them took out a $10 bill, laid it on Kipling's desk, and said, here's $10, what great word can you give me for its value? Kipling thought for a moment, put the $10 bill in his wallet, turned to the man and said simply, thanks. Thanksgiving is extremely valuable. Children have to be taught to say thank you because they are by nature selfish. I got mine, I'm going to run with it. Sometimes it takes a lifetime for individuals to develop gratitude. And it's natural to have a sense of entitlement. You ever had a creeping little thought, well, I think I deserve, I would think they should have said something about me. Well, I think that she'd at least have said that was good. If she didn't like that, I'm not going to take her anything else to eat. Well, always give people room that maybe they didn't like it. Forgive them and go on to the next number. I've got answers for things, whether I like it or whether I don't. You know, it's a beautiful cake. You can't stand it, or you can't eat cake, or whatever the thing was. And just say, that was a beautiful cake. Easy. You don't have to lie about it. You don't have to insult anybody. You can be thankful that somebody cared enough to try to show their love and appreciation to you. You know, entitlement takes for granted and assumes that the individual deserves what he's received. That's entitlement. He may think he's so smart, he deserves everybody's respect. I was trying to talk to those people. They were all talking at the same time. Nobody listened to me. I'm not going there anymore. I deserve to be heard, is that idea. Or that she is so beautiful, she deserves everyone's compliments. Nobody said anything about my new dress. I guess it's ugly. I guess I don't measure up. I guess they're too good for me. On the insanity goes. The entitlements that come because of our own personal pride and misconception of who we are. Children might get the idea that they deserve for mom and dad to pay all their bills and clean their room as well. This is a sense of entitlement. I deserve this. You owe it to me. Or the wife may feel that she deserves the kind of attention and affection of her husband because she has so very much to offer. After all, she could have married one of those other. You'd be so fortunate. Was there another who asked you also? That's amazing. You know, there really was a man visiting in an asylum one time. And there was a man sitting staring into space saying, "Lulu, Lulu, Lulu." He took him on down, just not very far down the way, and another man was sitting in a place that was separate from the others. And he was just crying and weeping and sobbing, "Lulu, Lulu, Lulu." And he took him down a little bit further, and here comes a man that's barricaded so that he can't harm the other people. And he runs and crashes himself into the wall, "Lulu, Lulu." And they said, "Who is that?" He said, "He's the man who married Lulu." I heard more men laughing on that than women. So we think, you know, my husband got a good catch. He ought to appreciate me. These thoughts are all based on pride and ingratitude. They come from a mind uneducated in the true values of life. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, "For what gives you the right to make any judgments? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift?" And you know that we could just see law right there. What do any of you have that God didn't give you? I know I was sitting by a person once, and we were reading something, and I remember thinking in my mind, "What kindergarten did you go to? Did they really teach you to read? It's like it was just taking them forever." And man, the Holy Spirit pounced on me, and He said, "I gave you the gift of fast reading for the work I've called you to do." And it didn't have anything to do with anybody else. It didn't have anything to do with me. We're both fortunate that we're in a country where we even learn to read at all. You dig deeper and deeper, you can find your level of gratitude. I was thinking this morning, trying to decide if I could get one of my ears to hear right. And that actually did cross my mind, what can I be thankful for? And I said, I can be thankful that the urgent care is not very far away. They've washed that ear out before. That's what I'm thankful for today. And that I still, nobody's made any faces at me yet. Okay, things are looking up. So what do you have that God didn't give you? Unthankfulness has its root in selfishness and covetousness. How many of you knew that? Two cotton picking. Selfish. I said unthankfulness has its root in selfishness and covetousness. See, I'm myself, I love myself, I know what I want for myself. So why should I bother to thank anybody? They ought to do better than they're doing. Isn't that right? Okay. There's never enough with that thought. It's never right. People complain all the time, nothing's ever right. They're just not thankful. They're ungrateful. Come on, some things are right, no matter what. Some things are right. It's never right because, as one has said, you won't be thankful for that which you feel entitled. It's called taking things for granted. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, some people translate that and even wrote a book on it. Give thanks for everything. It does not say that. It says give thanks in all things give thanks. So I don't thank God for what is wrong with me that causes my body to hurt. I thank God for the part of my body that hurts, and I bless that part. And I am thankful for the healing work that Jesus did on the cross. In other words, just say thankful no matter how difficult things are. Where He says in everything and in every situation be thankful. Here's what Matthew Henry, the great theologian and preacher, said when he was robbed He actually wrote this to announce it. And it was his prayer back to God. I thank thee, God, first, because I've never been robbed before. Secondly, because they took my purse, they did not take my life. Thirdly, although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. We need to get ourselves a thankful shovel and just keep digging deeper and deeper and deeper until you find the level of thankfulness and gratitude that's in your situation. I can choose to be grateful even when my emotion and feelings are steeped in resentment. I can choose it. Am I truly grateful for what I have? What a blessed nation. I said this in my message in Washington, D.C. in September. We are a free nation. I said the great thing about our nation is that we are free. Therefore, as individuals, we need to become free. G.K. Chesterton said, when we were children, we were grateful to those who filled our stockings with Christmas toys. At Christmas time. Why are we not grateful to God for filling our stockings with legs? Many people have never understood how important feet are, or toes, or fingers, or that you can get up every day and have the strength to do what you need to do. Gratitude, thankfulness is an attitude, and it's a choice, and it's based on the realization, listen carefully, that although you have lost two or three things when you lose, you have never lost everything, and you always have God, and you always have His promises. I read a quick little thing today that Mother Teresa was visited by John Kavanaugh several years ago. And he told her that more than anything else in the world, he wanted clarity. And he said, I've come here to ask you to pray for me to have clarity. She said, and I will not do it. He said to her, but you're a person who has the most clarity of anyone I've ever known. And she laughed. She said, I have no clarity. I have trust in God. And then she prayed for him to have trust in God. Some people complain because God hasn't laid out a blueprint for them. And what does this mean? And what will that happen? And that, well, whatever it happens. I hear people, someone said to me just recently, you know, did I worry about what might happen? You know, that we might fall in hard times and famine and this. I said, I do not worry, because I know that I'm among those chosen, that when time of famine comes, that God will show me how to bring forth food. In whatever situation we are in, we will be among those that bring deliverance to those around us. I trust God. I do not have clarity about it. I have confidence in God. Therefore, I don't try to work it out. And I'll tell you, politics is not the answer. It is God's will for us to be thankful. Not for everything, but in everything. And I have known of people that have made it a point in their lives that they will be thankful for whatever. I remember the first mentor I ever had, her name was Vanita Mack. And she took Judy and me on a trip with her one time out ministering. This is how I got my start. And took me out ministering, and then she lectured me afterwards because I left some of my clothes there, and she didn't see me giving the offering, and there were two or three things that she was displeased with that I didn't do. That was my first trip out. And I remember her saying, we turned the wrong way, and Judy got aggravated because now we're going to have to, it's going to take a certain amount of time to get back, turn around, and get back where we were. She said, "Don't worry about it, Judy. The Lord had some things up this direction He wants us to see first before we go that direction." I thought, this woman is weird. It's the will of God for us to be thankful. But if we give thanks in everything, and some of the things are awful and the last thing in the world we would want, but in that situation, then what are we going to give thanks for? We're going to give thanks to God that He is God. In the situation, God is my God. Jesus is my Savior. He is my healer as well. He is my Redeemer. He goes after the lost sheep. In whatever situation I find myself in, I am thankful for God. That never changes. Steal from me all you want. God will never change. We haven't lost everything because we've lost a few things. Always remember it. And God's great faithfulness, love, and promises remain. We have a God who loves us and who reveals Himself to us, to whom we can be eternally grateful. I thought, you know, last week I thought the Lord spoke to me to talk to you about growing, but then I felt He showed me that I should give a little understanding about how to grow, that we might know how, might not know how to go about it. So, and this is just four or five simple little things here, but I thought it might be a help to you. Number one, Psalm 104 says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His holy name. Worship." So the point is, the first way that you're going to show God you're thankful, if you remember with me the entrance in, this is the description of it. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. You couldn't get anywhere until you thanked God. And that was the first step in your worship, is worship, which is thanksgiving to Him. Enter into everything with thanksgiving. Secondly, Psalm 147:7 says, "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving." Now, we did just a little bit of that this morning, didn't we? How many of you tried to do that? How many of you actually did it? I did it with one ear. I thought, I wonder if I'm loud. I wonder if I'm on key. I don't know. Here goes. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Number three, Malachi 3:10 says, in faithful giving, we show our thanks to God. Now, the Israelites had many, many feasts. They're all about thanksgiving, many. And their tithes and their offerings in Malachi 3:5, He says to bring all the tithes in the storehouse. All of this was built around a great harvest. We've brought it in. We give thanks by giving God His part first. You know, if you give God the 10%, the 90% is yours. Think of that. Think how much money 90% of your paycheck is. That's a lot.
Well, the government already took their,
I know. That's the price you pay for living in what we were just thanking Him for earlier. And the scripture says, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Jesus didn't deny the fact that we need to have government. Thank God. What kind of disorder would we have if some of the people in politics that want a government of disorder had? What if they had their way? We'd have a mess. I thank God that He has provided that for us. Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, we have trouble believing that, don't we? I mean, you think, well, I think anybody that has trouble tithing then has trouble believing that. But he said, he made a challenge. Not just is this a teaching, but he said, well, here's what you can do. Just prove me. Try me. And see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you. Now, when we're talking about getting paid back here on earth, if someone owes us something, you know, perhaps getting some interest on it or something like that. But can you imagine the payback being an installment of a window of heaven that is open just for you every time you tithe? Oh, Pastor, that's just figurative language. Well, don't say that to someone who's been tithing all my saved life, because I know that's what he does. He has opened the windows of heaven to me, not just financially, but in many, many other ways. That all comes from his storehouse. And he gives us what is in heaven. Don't you like that? Here's what I like is when he opens the windows of heaven, he doesn't give you any diseases to help you be more humble. It's wonderful because there's not any in heaven. So he can't get a hold of any diseases up there. He won't give you any troubles and woes because there's not any of those. Nobody's crying up there. Now, they do have gold up there. And maybe you say, I'd take some of that. The streets are paved with gold. Now, if you and I will just simply trust God for that. You see, this is the way we say it, that a tithe is a debt you owe. And a gift is a seed you sow. The tithe is not ours. That's God's part. He has given it to us to give us an opportunity to give back to him so he can open the windows of heaven for us. You'll never be out anything. Trust God, because you cannot outgive the Lord. His shovel is bigger than yours. Always. But this is an act of thanksgiving. I am thankful, you know, that... I had a pastor say recently that when he decided, he was fairly well known. And he said he had always been well paid, and he decided to just take a year off from the ministry altogether. He felt a fresh direction. He had pastored two churches, both for several years, and they both had paid him nicely. And he said that, and then he... For a year, he did not have any income, didn't have any pay. I suppose he lived on gifts or something. I don't know how he lived. But he said, the Lord said to him, when you were working, did you ever thank me for your paycheck? When you were pastoring in the church, did you ever thank me for your paycheck? Maybe he thought something like, I deserve more than that. Maybe he thought... You couldn't pay me enough for what I've had to put up with. Who knows what he thought? I'm thankful that this church is faithful to give me a paycheck. I appreciate that. I don't take that for granted. Well, you worked hard and you did your education. I said, what do I have that God didn't give me? He gave me the strength to work. He gave me the sense to get my education. It wasn't anything I did. It's what God did for me. And when we understand how to be thankful and not anything God gives us or anything that God allows us to be given, everything came from him. I've had people give me just once in a while, not nearly often enough. I've had people give me very large amounts of money when I'd go and minister. I mean, nutty. If I'd tell you how much, you'd say, you got to be kidding. But most of the time, it's not like that. But the Lord has taught me to be thankful no matter what. No matter what. Because He's the one that is opening the gates. I don't have anything except what God has given to me. And if that be so, you know, the very physical strength He gives us, He grants us that every day. And the longer you live, the more you appreciate it. Some people honestly think they're doing God a favor if they just get up in the morning. Now, God's doing you a favor to give you the strength to get up in the morning. God is the one doing all the favors. We haven't done God a favor yet. But occasionally we do something that pleases God and helps establish the purpose of God. For this there is great blessing. That's a choice of our own obedience. But the way to have a thankful heart is to know that you do not have anything but what God gives you, what He provides for you to lay hold on, and what He continues to give you. We prove our gratitude by acknowledging that we have nothing except what He's given us. An act of thanksgiving is to bring to the Lord the tithes and the offerings that belong to Him. And the fourth way is, we're talking about how we can show God we're thankful. Worship Him. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. We've been taught to be quiet in church. That teaching needs to be erased. You need to come into church and open up your mouth. It's all in the Bible. Sing, praise, thank God, rejoice, shout, amen, hallelujah. Come on, let's have a little noise out there. Hey, how about it? We have found it's okay to speak up in church. And so to worship Him, to sing. And I thought this morning, well, it's not a good day for me to evaluate whether people were singing or not. I didn't even know if I was singing. But I do look around to see if people's lips move. Because I read an article that said, why are people not singing in church anymore? And I don't want us to be among those people. People have quit singing for one reason. There's so much performance on the stage, they can hardly compete with it. Well, we don't have a big problem with that. We have good people that bring us into the presence of God, not those. You know, there's places where the worship leader's always putting his picture up on the screens. Like we can't see him enough already, you know. We've taught our worship leaders here, lead worship, don't be doing a bunch of talking. We are here to worship God. We're not here to hear one more recitation. And I felt like this morning during that little free time where we just praise God, I just like that. I just like the thought, I'm just going to say praise to my God sitting right here. Move out of all of that religious feeling and praise and bless your God. Okay. So, worshiping Him, singing to Him, faithful giving. Number four, share your testimony. Isaiah 12:3 says, with joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. In that wonderful day, you will sing. Thank the Lord, praise His name, tell the nations what He's done. Let them know how mighty He is. I'll tell you someone else I used to think was unusual, in addition to you and me, is that thought. There was a company in our area, a business in our area, and all across the side of their big long wall, they had written across the top, "The Lord has done great things for us, wherefore we are glad." When I was a kid, I thought, weird. Now I think, obedient, smart. Declare it to the nations, declare it in the city, declare it in the fields. Everything, when we declare what God has done for us, are we not showing forth thanks? Isn't that thankful for what He has done for me? When you minister, when you speak before people, sometimes they want to say this and that and this and that, like you did what was just done. If you spoke, if you preached under the anointing, you didn't. He did. Now, it could be that's why people get prideful. Maybe some pastors do all the speaking, so they take all the glory. But you're looking at a person who knows that if it comes out helpful and right and is transformational in any way, he did it. I can't change anybody. I tried for a long time. And so not to get an ulcer, I just turned it over to him. God is the one that transforms, and he's the one to whom we are to be thankful. He did it. So my pastor, Judson Cornwall, taught me to do this. When people don't bother to try to play humble or any of that stuff, when people tell you, oh, you're this and you're that, just say, I'm glad you could receive it, or I appreciate being here. Just say something that means nothing. And then when you go home at night before you go to sleep, take the time to say, Lord, all of those kind, complimentary, appreciative things that were said about me, you know that you. And I wouldn't be anything that anybody could say something about if you hadn't done any work, that work in me. Therefore, I take the time, I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, and I give all that to you. Then you're free from it. Now, I started out saying that I wanted to call my message the extreme power of thanksgiving. It's really an extreme power, and it really doesn't cost that much. I was praying about this recently, and I asked the Lord, Lord, why is thanksgiving so important and precious to you? Tell me what the big deal is. I mean, I need to understand where the depth of the power comes from in thanksgiving, that it opens heaven and that it causes you to be welcome in our midst and brings healing and all those things. Where does that power come from? And he really spoke this to me, which I wanted to give to you. Thanksgiving breaks the power of the spirit of greed and covetousness in our lives. In the same way that giving tithes and offerings breaks the power of the spirit of mammon over our finances. Now I'm going to say it again. Thanksgiving breaks the power of the spirit of greed and covetousness in our lives. In the same way that giving tithes and offerings breaks the power of the spirit of mammon over our finances. You know that if you give the tithe, then the 90% is blessed. But if you don't, Malachi says, so you put your money in a bag full of holes. Some people can't ever seem to get ahead. They can't ever seem, but you need to start with what is first. So it breaks a power over you. But in the same way, giving thanks, being thankful to God, breaks the spirit of greed, that power that always wants more, never has enough. And covetousness. Covetousness, you want to be careful if you're too acquisitive. How many of you know what acquisitive means? Getting stuff. Getting stuff is what they say in Virginia, not acquisitive. And bigger ones. In America, there has to be a bigger one. I'm not kidding you. I can't even hold the size cups that some places want to give you to drink out of, like in your car or something. I'm thankful if it's on a table where I can use a straw. But what happened to us that we got so big that we started drinking out of 10-gallon barrels? And if you're a person with a normal appetite, then you're likely to take food home with you because they give you far too much to eat. But all of that is pandering to the spirit of greed and covetousness. You don't need that much. You don't need to be tempted to overeat every time you sit down. But if you have a good meal, it's so good to be thankful for it, isn't it? And to give thanks. I don't remember where I was with someone once, and we were both so tired. I think we were in another country. And one person sitting in was praying over the food and prayed this prayer. And we all just had to stop and laugh because it was so appropriate. And their prayer went, Lord, bless this and turn it into food You see, it's supposed to be turn it into nourishment for our body. But this time I was glad they prayed for it to be turned into food, because you remember that song from when we were kids? The food here is improving, for the little black things in it are not moving. It was one of those kinds of things. Now I want to tell you something about this wonderful, wonderful power. John and I have been reading a book and listening to some CDs by a woman named Mary Hans. It was offered by, Sid Roth. And she has 21 keys in it for healing. And one of these, I was so impressed by the way she was completely healed of incurable muscular dystrophy. She had it for many years and was healed. And she got hurt very deeply in a church, felt left out, felt wasn't appreciated, felt put down, all that kind of thing. Really hurt her. And she didn't know how to give that wound to the Lord and let him heal it. But as I taught in Washington, I thought one of the most important sentences that the Lord gave me, it's not enough to survive. We have to be healed. If you go on with God, if you flourish, if you protect yourself from ongoing attacks from the enemy, it's not enough to survive. We have to be healed. And so she didn't realize that she had not been healed from this. And a few months later, this muscular dystrophy came back that she'd been healed of. And so she turned to the Lord again, and the Holy Spirit began to teach her and taught her how to pray and how to open herself up. And the Lord completely healed her, and she's well today and giving her testimony. But what he said to her was, you allowed that hurt that you incurred in that situation to fester and just be a wound inside of you that the devil could use as a landing strip to do as he wanted to do, and he attacked you in your body. So she had to begin with forgiveness and all of these things. In the process of that healing, here's something that beautifully impressed me. And I want to teach you to do this. One day she was praying, and the Lord said, Mary, thank me for your feet. This is before she got the healing the second time. Thank me for your feet. She told him, they don't work very well. And he said to her, imagine that you have no feet. And she said he gave her an open vision of herself with her legs coming to the ground with no feet on them. And it struck her like a pain. And she thought, no matter how I judge my feet, I've got to be thankful that I have feet. Think about it. So she started thanking God for her feet. She took her feet in her hands and blessed them. And she started weeping for her ingratitude because her feet were not the way she wanted them to be. Hey, be careful about throwing off on your body parts. So you're born into a family that has larger noses than other people. Longer to smell with, my dear. It doesn't matter. Everything is relative. It really is. And there's always going to be somebody who has better things than you and people who have things not as good as you. So when you're feeling gloomy and down on yourself, think of all the people that theirs are worse than yours then. But the point is, she started blessing her feet. And a few days after that, a woman asked her to come to her home and pray for her for healing. And while she was praying for that woman, the feelings started coming back into her feet. But first she thanked God for her feet, and she began to bless her feet. Do you remember when John Kilpatrick was so disgusted and frustrated because he could never get any brass instruments in his orchestra? Remember? And the Lord, and he went in there and complained and grumbled about it. We were praying in the sanctuary. And the Lord said, quit cursing the orchestra pit. And so he went in and started blessing the orchestra pit when he would go in and pray, although the brass instruments were not there. And what he was looking for was not there. How many of you know you can have a band without brass instruments, or you can really have a, I don't know, you can have a band with a juice harp if you want to. But the thing is, it's all relative. Do you see that it's covetousness and greed that looks and sees somebody else who has all these instruments? Honestly, I don't care how many instruments anybody has. I bring this instrument. I bring my voice with me. And I've got that instrument to worship God with. These other things, we let them be far too important to us. The next time you start to complain, check yourself. Get out your thankful digging shovel. Dig just a little deeper and see where your thanks level is now. And just thank God for what you do have. I think it's an amazing thing that as time goes on and the Lord gives us more and more revelation, he opens up more and more ways that we can come into all of his healing plan for us. And Mary Haas said, we open the door for God to turn more challenging situations in our lives into good when we are thankful regardless of their circumstances. We open the door for God to turn more challenging situations in our lives into good when we are thankful regardless of our circumstances. Thankfulness in all situations brings peace to our hearts and bodies. You know, if you think today, isn't complaining the opposite of thankfulness or gratitude? Isn't that what kept the Israelites out of the promised land? They murmured and they complained. You know, the preacher's sermon's too long, the preacher's sermon's too short. The music is too loud, the music is not loud enough. Where you have a number of people, you can all have your own choices about this is just right and this is not good enough. And then every once in a while, I find myself having to say to somebody, I'm sorry, I just can't quite figure out what you're talking about. Sometimes when people complain, sometimes I really don't know what they're complaining about. But maybe when we school ourselves, I'm not going to be a complaining person. Hey, you can correct things and make things right without complaining. Did you know that? Thank God that you're so much smarter than everybody else and you can fix it. It's a joke. And we can all be thankful. We can choose to be thankful. So, this Thanksgiving comes early this year. I was surprised to find out that I better get this message now instead of next Sunday. Then I was thankful that I had a calendar. So here's what I'd like for us to do today. I want you to stand together. And there's something I want you to do. If you'll all do this at the same time, you won't be able to hear each other for the most part. And what I want you to do is aloud. I want you to thank God for some problem area in your body. Like Jan's going to thank God for her eyes, because her eyes are going to be healed pretty soon. But until that happens, thank God that Jan has eyes. That God. So whatever area, you know, if you have back problems, then I thank God for my back. And while you're at it, then bless that area. I think you'll open a place for God to begin to do a work in that particular area. I want to do that before we even go any further or pray any more. Now, so I'm gonna ask you to pray aloud. All pray at the same time. Name that thing for what it is. Nobody's going to listen because everybody's going to be praying. All right, ready? Lord, we're ready to thank you. We're thanking you right now. I thank you for my knee, Lord. I thank you for my hands. I thank you for my feet. I bless them, Lord, that they're better every day and that there will be total healing in every area Lord, but every area you've given me, I have it because you gave it to me. And Lord, you formed me in my mother's womb, and I declare that you are also the healer that will indeed heal every part. I will refuse to complain, Lord, but I thank you for all the healing that you've done and all the healing you're going to do. And I look to you, Lord, because you're a miracle working God. Thank you, Lord. I'll tell you somebody that knows that God's a miracle working God. Raise your hand, Mary. Hey, Mary. I drew Mary's testimony out just a little bit on Wednesday night because I just wanted to hear the rest of it. She never had any chemotherapy or any radiation treatment, nothing at all. And then when she went back to her doctor, he said, there's not any, and she had fourth stage liver cancer. I mean, is that a miracle or what? Now here's what I do when God does a miracle like that for a person, when he just breaks through and he does a miracle. For days and days, I thank him every time it comes to my mind. Thank you that you healed Mary. Thank you that you healed Mary. I've been thanking God for days and days for Mary. God healed Mary. And the more we thank God, the more we're going to prepare a place for God to bring that wonderful. Here's what I said, Mary. I said, John, and Joan was there. I said, Mary has had a miracle. And it could be that we're in a time where God's going to start releasing miracles into this congregation just to show his great love and mercy. So we just sat right down right then and prayed to God and asked God for miracles for each of us in our body and to turn every situation around in our life that had been aggravating. Come on, we ask you for miracles in our lives. We ask you for miracles, and we thank you for being our God. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for being our King, our Redeemer. There's nobody like our God. There's no friend like Jesus. Oh, there's none that sings and rejoices and dances over us like our wonderful Heavenly Father. Oh, how we thank you, 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 Lord. We thank you, Jesus. I thank God for the mentors that he gave me in my life. And a lot of them are already in heaven rejoicing. But all the things that they taught me, you can't, how many of you know you can't teach yourself? You have to know something first. We have to have mentors. We have to have teachers. And my mentors modeled wonderful things for me. I saw them do certain things, you know. And it was just really wonderful. I won't give the location of it, but I was in a place with Dr. Pickett one time, and she was the speaker. They were not interested in my book, though they published books. And she said, I've asked my pastor and my friend if she'll just take about 5 minutes and share with us about her new book. I'm so proud of her and so glad that she's done this. I don't think they like that. She didn't care. She did that because she loved me and because she wanted to promote me. And I'm so thankful that I had people that stood with me and upheld me and covered me in times of weakness or confusion or prayed for me in times of need. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful? How many of you are thankful that we have a body of believers here that are committed to loving and praying for each other? I mean, you absolutely, you know, if you have a real need, if you have a real need, somebody will pray for you. Somebody will walk with you in it. If you have food, you need food sent to your house, or if you get destitute, people will give you money. Whatever it is, I'm sure glad that God has given us. How many of you are glad that God gave leadership to the church? That you have those that pay the price to hear the word, and that connect you with other people so you can be a part of what God's doing in the kingdom. You know, how many of you could have gotten Kenneth Measure to come here and preach? See what I'm saying? Yeah, it takes leadership to bring the whole thing together, right? And there's certain things you're supposed to do that I'm not supposed to do, but things that God's called me to do that you're not even supposed to, expected to do. If we appreciate our leaders, we'll pray for them, won't we? We'll truly bless them in our hearts. Some people don't have to They don't worry too much about what they're going to have for Sunday lunch. They just roast the preacher. I thank God you don't do that. We are thankful that Jimmy's out of isolation. And that we are so very thankful. We're looking for a quick turnaround. And that Jimmy will be back with us. Let's believe God is going to be back with us next Sunday. Amen. Thank you. We give you the glory. Thank you for healing Jimmy. Thank you for getting him up out of that bed, Lord. We release our faith together as one. We curse the root of infection. We declare the lordship over his body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We love his feet. We bless his legs. We speak to his circulation. Go into his feet and legs. Bring God glory. Let everything about Jimmy's body bring you glory, Jesus. Let him honor you in his body. Lord, we thank you and praise you today for all of your goodness, all of your mercy, all of your love. Help us, Lord, to be a more thankful people. One more thing I want to tell you about Thanksgiving. If you only consider it in your mind or in your heart, it's not yet Thanksgiving. You have to give it before it's thanks. So you got to say something. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So if we need to be, hey, thank your husband and wife when they do something, husband or wife, excuse me. Thank your husband or your wife. Well, it's a hard day to be living in, isn't it? Anytime that they do something for you, it doesn't take much to say thank you, does it? And so let's be thankful for all of these things. And let's look to the Lord together that he will take every spirit of complaining out of us. Make us as a generation known as being joyful, thankful people. Amen. Are you going to let us worship before we go? Yeah, what you've given me is enough, Lord.
Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up.
Don't listen to it.
Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low?
Yes. Need to know. I need to know. Oh, Lord. Yes. That's what matters, Lord. Yes, yes. your feet. I believe what you say.